You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The president is, shall we say, in an altered state right now, so I don't know how to answer for his behavior. But what I said about the president was that we don't know if somebody who I've not said this, I've quoted others to say there are those who say that when you're on steroids and or if you have COVID-19 or both, that there may be some impairment of judgment. But again, that's for the doctors and the scientists to determine.
But I'm not going to wait for them to make that determination. That's Nancy Pelosi. This is October 9th, 2020. Nancy Pelosi announcing the plan to empower Congress to remove the president from office by the 25th Amendment. This is the latest resist movement, the latest effort to overturn the previous election almost 4 years ago and to get rid of Trump. Dump Trump before the election, one way or the other. One way or the other. This resist movement was born the night he said, thank you, I'll serve as your president, and we'll bring everybody together. They started right then to fight back, to cause trouble, and in the streets the next day, and through the inauguration, and every day since. What can we do to destroy the man? Because he was not supposed to win. All of the polls said there is no way. All the commentators on the networks were showing the blue wall saying, Hillary has the blue wall locked down. He cannot go over it. He cannot break through it. There is no way. And some of those commentators even exposing where they stood as they were pointing to the blue wall and saying, if Hillary doesn't win this one, then we will lose. She will lose. Yeah, that's pretty much what they were doing. We all knew that, right? And then, of course, then came the Russian collusion story. And the FBI papers now being unveiled showing who was behind the Russian collusion push. Fred Fleitz is going to join us before the next 2 hours is up, Center for Security Policy, saying inside those papers are some damning details targeting Clinton, Comey, possibly Obama. We're going to get into that in more detail a little bit later. But they pushed the Russian collusion. That didn't get rid of Trump. They pushed the impeachment. Nope, didn't work there either. So what else can we do? Oh, I know. Let's say he is to blame for a plot to kidnap the Michigan governor, Whitmer. The FBI unveiling that plot yesterday. And what's the first thing she does? I want to thank all of those of you who helped protect me and save me and my family. And Donald Trump is complicit. He encouraged this because he will not speak out against hate groups. No, the point is he will not speak out as they want, when they want, on the exact wording they want. And even if he did, it would not be enough. You know that. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into the plot and who's behind it, supposedly. And this allegation, again, that's Trump. Trump is behind it. He's encouraging violence. There's a new study out on how many Americans expect violence through this election cycle and beyond. We'll share that with you. And then, of course, the debate issue. Where are we? Trump says, I'm not going to do a virtual debate. It has no value. Biden says, well, I'll be there. If he's not there, just tough luck. But the doctor overseeing Trump says he can be ready to go this weekend, Saturday, tomorrow. The debate's not until next week. You think the debate commission will try to put it back together? They're already lining up excuses saying, well, you know, Biden's already got other plans, so I don't know if we can, you know. In other words, it may not happen. And it will come back on the fact that Trump said, I won't do it virtual. We'll get into that. I want you to know the story behind the Presidential Debate Commission and the way it is now being weaponized. And also, Nobel Peace Prize given out. The Nobel Peace Prize. Remember, Trump being nominated not once, but twice this time around, bringing peace to the Middle East and other efforts. I mean, who else has done anything like that since Clinton did? I'm sorry, not Clinton, Carter. Who else? None. So the Nobel Peace Prize being awarded. They found a way to dump Trump and at the same time chastise him and slander him in the same time. I'll explain. We got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I am flesh and I am bone, rise up, ting ting like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul, rise up, ting ting like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the Valley of Kings?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
When I put my hand on the Bible and took the oath of office 22 months ago, I knew this job would be hard. But I'll be honest, I never could have imagined anything like this. I want to start by saying thank you to our law enforcement. Thank you to the fearless FBI agents. And thank you to the brave Michigan State Police troopers who participated in this operation.
That is the Michigan Governor Whitmer thanking everyone who helped protect her from this plot to kidnap her. According to all the story that we've been given, the FBI overseeing the entire operation, they say Michigan extremists were plotting to kidnap Governor Whitmer, start a civil war. That was their intent. They're known as the Wolverine Watchmen, a Michigan group accused of plotting to kidnap the governor and others. And supposedly one of an estimated 2 to 3 dozen armed Michigan groups that some have been fearing could pose a growing threat. And they may well be. I'm not going to dismiss them. I've covered militant groups on the right previously, decades ago, and one in particular, an extensive documentary and series we put together, actually called Ready on the Right. It dealt with Christian militia gathering their children and everyone together at a camp for a long weekend, reading the Bible, teaching the kids Bible verses and how to shoot guns. That's okay. But then they started talking about who would be the target. And in fact, when I lined up to do the interview with this group based in Illinois, one of the questions they had, you're going to bring a photographer, a cameraman, right? Sure, that's how I tell the story. I'll have you guys on camera. Anyone doesn't want their face, they can cover up their face. But yes, we're there to shoot and document it. And then the word came, and it's very clear. Well, you do know what we stand for I said, you all have a general idea. Well, then I hope you would not try to come to our camp with someone of, I said, you're saying black? No black photographer? Is that what you tell me? Yeah, if you want to come on the property, you can't have a black photographer. That's what I'm telling you. You know, there are times in this business, if you want the story, you're going to have to make some acquisition. But then you make that part of the story, which I did. Yeah, we went. I got the other photographer to go with me. Not the first choice I was going to have. The other one is obviously a very good photographer as well, but this guy was up next to help me with the series, and so I told him, we're going to have to step over you, but here's what you will do. You can help me edit when we get back. And at the same time, then I made it part of the story, saying the only way we were going to get to do the story at all is if we didn't bring anyone of color to be our photographer. So I'm not going to easily dismiss armed far-right groups. I know they exist. We know it goes back to the Klan and beyond that, and the militias that have been building up. And unfortunately, what we've had going on lately, the divisiveness in the nation, there's an increase in it. There's a lecturer at Vanderbilt University. She says she studied these militias for more than a dozen years. She said the modern armed groups date to the early 1990s as a response to perceived fears of tyrannical government. And her quote is, Michigan has always been a hotbed for militia activity. The militias in Michigan have always been the kind to which other states' militias look up to. So when this story broke yesterday about the FBI and what they were breaking down and the arrests they were making, it didn't overly surprise me. But I'm glad that they were carrying out the investigation. Now we have to find out, of course, if it was actual or the government overstepping bounds. Not just due process issues, but are they really what the government claims? They made 13 arrests in last report. 7 of them are members of the Wolverine Watchmen. They had sparked a national conversation previously about domestic terrorism. The court documents have been shown did rely on confidential informants, undercover agents, recorded 8 conversations, text messages, social media. And again, the agents claim this is clear evidence they were going to overthrow the government, which began with a conspiracy to kidnap the Democrat governor, take her to Wisconsin, put her on trial for treason. I don't like what Governor Whitmer's done in her state when it comes to the total mandate lockdown. Many in her state don't, but you don't go kidnapping a government official because you disagree with them and put them on trial for treason. Give me a break. But she's looking at it as an opportunity. She's safe, her family's safe. You heard her thank all those who helped protect her. And then her next move, her next direct attack is to blame Donald Trump, say that he is complicit. Her words, he is complicit in stoking extremists. Hear her words.
Just last week, the President of the United States stood before the American people and refused to condemn white supremacists and hate groups like these two Michigan militia groups. Stand back and stand by, he told them. Stand back and stand by. Hate groups heard the president's words not as a rebuke, but as a rallying cry, as a call to action.
I told you last week during that debate when President Trump used those words, because he said, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? They said, well, the Proud Boy. I don't really know anything about the Proud Boy. Well, what are you going to say? Well, I just say, stand back and stand down. I told you then that those words are going to come back to him because it wasn't strong enough, firm enough, and some would say it's a standby to be ready to launch an attack on my direction. That's what they're wanting to say, and I knew they were going to do that. When he said stand back and stand by, and you're seeing it now, and they were saying it then, and now this plot has been unveiled, they're clearly going to say it. Now, will they find documentation inside the Michigan group or some of the members overly endorsing and supporting Trump and talking about great things about him and so forth. I have no doubt they probably will. But at the same time, I'm sure there's some far, far radical leftist groups that are out to destroy this nation that have latched on to various Democrat figures from time to time. And I can't say you blame those Democrat figures unless they're actually inciting and part of it and involved in it. But go ahead and carry the narrative as far as you can for right now, because, again, that's what they're trying to do. There's a poll of U.S. voters about their concerns about violence as we move closer to Election Day. This is a YouGov poll of almost 2,000 registered voters. Found that 47% disagree with the idea that the election is likely to be fair and honest. But also within that, 56% said they expect an increase in violence as a result of the election. Now, I don't know if that means as a result of the final election decision or the election process or the election day, but they're expecting, according to those surveyed, riots, looting, burning, as one said, trashing of cities. Now, 3 years ago, the same polling group asked Americans whether they thought it could ever be justified for their political party to use violence to advance its goals. The overwhelming response was no. Only 8% said anything other than never, overwhelmingly saying no. And Trump has continually denied and spoken out against various hate groups. What they're trying to hang him on, and of course, the most recent language, stand back and stand by, that I told you then it was not going to be good verbiage for him. And, of course, back to the Charlottesville case where he said, good people on both sides, when you got the Nazis and the Proud Boys and marching through the streets with torches, demanding our streets, and saying they're good people on both sides. He wasn't talking about them, nor was he talking about Antifa and those on the other side bringing spears and everything else to cause violence. He's talking about the people in the middle who legitimately had differences of opinion about removing Civil War statues. But they weren't there to fight and battle. They were there to protest and make their voice heard. But I'm telling you again, unless Trump says it exactly the way they want him to say it, they are never going to accept that he's calling them out. He can say it over and over again, and he has indeed. And in fact, on the Sean Hannity program just 7 days ago, I think, 7 or 8 days ago, once again, he said, all right, let me try this again.
I have to say, I've said it many times, and let me be clear again, I condemn the KKK. I condemn all white supremacists. I condemn the Proud Boys. I don't know much about the Proud Boys, almost nothing, but I condemn that. But he should condemn also Antifa. Antifa is a horrible group of people. They kill people. What they do to people, and they're causing insurrection, they're causing riots. He doesn't want to do that, but the press doesn't go after him, and that's a really bad group of people. But I condemn them, and if I say it a hundred times, it won't be enough because it's fake news.
Mr. President, I played earlier. Joe Biden is out there all day today saying you've never condemned white nationalists, you just did. You've never condemned segregation as you just did. You've never condemned the KKK, you have. And you've never condemned David Duke. You are condemning all of them tonight, on record tonight, sir. Is that correct?
Yes, but I've condemned them in the past. For years I've condemned people, and I think almost everything that you mentioned.
But it doesn't make any difference, Mr. President, because you're not saying it in the way they want it, specifically the way they want it, and even then you're going to fall short. And the liberal media is piling on. Here comes MSNBC Morning Joe host Joe Scarborough arguing today that Trump is an autocrat inspiring domestic terrorism, saying he tends to agree with Governor Gretchen Whitmer that Trump's complicit. The New York Times article released today, the writer saying, law enforcement officials charging 13 with a violent plot that included storming the Michigan State Capitol, kidnapping the governor. Conservative groups have criticized Whitmer for her attempts to control the coronavirus by restricting normal activities. In April, President Trump tweeted, liberate Michigan. And he says, see, it's what he's trying to say. Liberate. That means you got to go in and the militia takes over. And where do we see the Democrats condemning the looting, the arson, the violence in the streets? Be it linked to BLM, Antifa, or just guys looking for a good time on the town, getting what they can get for free? And you may not even see some of that being reported in the future. You know, the Associated Press is now putting out a new standard. And, of course, various news outlets follow the AP style book. New definition guidelines are reporting on riots. The guidance preaches focusing on rioting and property destruction rather than underlying grievance has been used in the past to stigmatize broad swaths of people protesting against lynching, police brutality, or for racial justice going back to the urban uprisings of the 60s. So what is the AP now telling? What is the AP now telling reporters and how they should report it, how they should do it? I'll explain coming up in the next segment. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So we left off, and now the Associated Press has a new style book out advising basically suppress the truth. Don't give the public the truth. The Associated Press. Don't focus on a riot. When you do that, you're not focusing on the underlying grievance and the issue. The Associated Press, for the most part, is print, obviously. And, of course, when you're in video, be you cable, network, mainstream, local, the video of fires burning and so forth, that's always been a great picture. I don't care how it starts, what's happening, or if it's an accident, whatever. That goes to the top ahead of most economic stories that would affect everyone, some fire that affects really no one. But we're talking about actual destruction and violence, looting, arson. True riots. But the Associated Press says replace the words riots with milder terms such as unrest. Unrest? Listen, in this business, I have for decades warned and told other reporters, be careful using that term riot. Don't want to abuse it. Use it only when you truly have a situation that's out of control. Well, some of these are clearly been riots, not unrest. Now, we also, of course, have messaging that has been put up in front of the public on a constant basis lately on professional teams on pushing the Black Lives Matter agenda. That's their big their grievance, of course, coming out not in a riot, but on a billboard, a playing floor of a basketball team, the mound of a pitching, a baseball team. We told you yesterday the NBA is getting ready to make some changes for next season around. Listen to Commissioner Adam Silver.
We're completely committed to standing for social justice and racial equality. And that's been the case going back decades. It's part of the DNA of this league. How it gets manifested is something we're going to have to sit down with the players and discuss for next season. I would say in terms of the messages you see on our court, on the jerseys, this was an extraordinary moment in time when we began the discussions with the players and what we all lived through this summer. My sense is there'll be somewhat a return to normalcy, that those messages will largely be left to be delivered off the floor. And I understand those people who are saying, I'm on your side, but I want to watch a basketball game.
A lot of people have had that attitude about all sports lately. I don't want to go to the sport and be hit with political messaging. I don't care what it is. Now, you might be interested in the response of the NBA players after Adam Silver saying, I think next year we're not going to have that on the floor. And obviously, ratings are a big part. There is no doubt ratings are a big part because that's how they make money and what they can charge sponsors. And if they're losing viewership, which they have been dropping dramatically, between them, the football, baseball, but also you got COVID. You also have mixed up schedules. Hockey season all messed up. So it's very confusing all the way around for many people. But when you go to the players and the main players, you're not hearing them contradict Silver. They're not making anything to go back against him, back into his face over it. Among the main players, of course, you look at LeBron James and others like him. And they're not saying anything at this time. They're not saying they agree. They're not saying they will fight against it. But at the same time, they're just going to go about doing what they're paid to do. Play ball. That's all we ask of athletes, in my opinion. The story behind the debate commission, coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. USA. Larry Connors, USA.
They're trying to use the disease as a beard to cover up for them because the reality is Joe Biden does not want the transparency and he does not want to be physically on stage without any assistance. We can't trust him to do a Zoom call from his basement where he could be assisted by teleprompters and staff. No, if he wants to be the commander in chief of the greatest republic in history, he has to get on the stage himself and face off with Donald Trump.
Those are the words of Steve Cordes, senior advisor of the Trump 2020 campaign. He's saying, no, there should not be a virtual debate. That's what the Commission on Presidential Debates decided after Trump was diagnosed and then treated at Walter Reed Hospital for COVID. He's now back at the White House. And his doctor has said he's probably good to go tomorrow. Well, the debate isn't scheduled until next week. We're going to break this down for you as we move through it because it has a lot of moving parts. And I think you really need to have a full understanding of what's going on with the debate commission, how it came about, and maybe what's in play at this point. You don't have to dig deep before you find the ugly. But first of all, the idea of going virtual, not on the stage, facing off against each other. This was the reaction when that announcement came from the Commission on Presidential Debates, reaction from President Trump and challenger Biden.
No, I'm not going to waste my time on a virtual debate. That's not what debating's all about. You sit behind a computer and do a debate. It's ridiculous. And then they cut you off whenever they want.
We set the dates. I'm sticking with the dates. I'm showing up. I'll be there. And in fact, if he shows up, fine. If he doesn't, fine.
So, see, Biden is taking the role that, hey, I'll be there. I'm going to do it. You know, he's the one bailing out. If you look at the mainstream media before the first debate took place, before the very first one, many were saying that Biden shouldn't bother. Pelosi being one of them, saying, I just wouldn't waste my breath on him. You don't really need to debate him. But then Biden showed up and he was on stage for full 90 minutes, no breaks. His party wanted every 30 minutes to have a 10-minute break. And the Republicans said, our guy is on stage for 90-plus minutes at a time. We don't need any breaks. And I told you the other day that aside from substance out of the issue, and aside from some Mickey Mouse train wreck stupid things done by both of them, Biden at least held up, stayed on stage, remained poised, didn't get totally lost somewhere in a thought process and was fairly cognizant. Okay, I'm going to give him that. So now coming up for the second debate. Cornish is still of the belief that this commission is doing everything it can to help Pence, and they thought, you know, whew, we got through that one. Let's don't do another one. Let's just don't chance it again, or let's do one virtual. Let's try to do it that way. And here's the opinion of, again, the Trump 2020 campaign senior advisor, Steve Cordes, on the Commission on Presidential Debates.
Unfortunately, the Commission on Presidential Debates has revealed itself as a corrupt and complicit swamp cabal. They are trying to put their thumb on the scale in favor of Joe Biden. They are trying to protect him and, in fact, bail him out.
I have no doubt that they have from time to time, and we're going to explain in more detail in a moment. You can make up your own mind. You don't have to accept my belief, nor that of Cordes. So let's get a quick sketch of history of the debate commission. Here's the co-chair of the Presidential Debate Commission, the guy seen pretty much everywhere being at the front of the debate commission when it comes to an interview, Frank Fahrenkrog.
We've been around for over 30 years, and for 25 of those years, it is the commission that picks the dates, the locations, the format, and the moderators without any consultation with the campaigns and with the candidates. It was created because there were so many problems back in the early 80s as to whether or not debates would ever take place.
Yeah, kind of like where we are again now. But let's go through what he said about the history of the commission. Been in effect, he said, for 30 years. First 5 years or so, well, you know, we kind of let the candidates work it out, and then we just kind of oversaw it. But he said the last 25 years, and pay attention, please. You don't need to take notes, because I'll rebrief you on it. Not going to test you, but I will rebrief you. In the last 25 years, the commission picks the date, picks the location, chooses the format. Well, let me see. There's one other part to that. Well, let me see. We got the date. We got the location. We got the format. Who else would be a part of that debate? The moderator. Yeah, the moderator. And there's where things get a little sticky and ugly and give credence to Steve Cordes that the debate commission has it in to basically undo the Trump presidency and destroy it by whatever means possible. They're going to run the game. They're going to pull a little charade. They're going to do a little of this, a little bit of that, a little shell game. They're going to do whatever they can to give Biden a better opportunity. So when the word came out that we saw Trump having to go to Walter Reed Hospital, and Trump has since admitted, yeah, I was pretty sick. I have to admit I was pretty sick. But I'm feeling much better now. And despite all the White House is saying that, well, it's just precautionary, and we reported it that way, I kind of felt I don't think they would do that because it grabs too much of attention for him to be going out on Chopper One over to Walter Reed. Why not just treat him there? They got plenty of facilities unless they really had an issue building that they wanted to get a quick grab on. And Trump has since admitted, yeah, I was a little sicker than maybe we were indicating. But, of course, don't forget the left also was out there saying, it's a fake, he's just trying to get sympathy. But then the decision to make the next debate virtual, it's supposed to be a town hall meeting, and they're going to make it virtual. The timing of that announcement, followed the Pence-Harris debate, when Pence looked like he was really strong against Harris and that she did not win the debate at all, that he was the big winner. I mean, a lot of folks, even on the other side, had to kind of say Pence probably did a better job. Maybe not everybody agree, but let's just accept that. But the commission rushing in immediately to say, we're changing the next thing. Cordes says, look at the timing of their announcement.
just hours after the really just virtuoso performance of Vice President Pence in Salt Lake City in that debate. Instead of us spending the day talking about that debate and talking about what was revealed about the radical agenda of Kamala Harris, instead, without any consultation, zero, with our campaign, the commission makes a unilateral decision to make it a virtual debate.
Now, again, the commissioner co-chair said, well, we did that because, well, we needed to make a decision quick. We said we really made it that night. We made that decision the previous night, but we decided to delay it a little bit. I don't know. I mean, you know, either way, that the announcement was made, and it's out there. And why did they decide that they're going to go and do a virtual debate? Why not either cancel the next one up if you think that's going to be an issue, or reschedule it? We've got the one coming up in Miami, the next one up, which was going to be the town hall, supposedly going to be the virtual debate now, or not going to exist at all, and then followed by the last one in Nashville. Well, again, let's go to the co-chair of the Presidential Debate Commission.
As I've said many, many times in this particular cycle, we're going to be guided by the medicine. We're going to be guided by those people who are advising us. We're not doctors. And as you know, the Cleveland Clinic has been advising us throughout. They went along with this decision. They've just too many questions as to whether or not we could present this with many, many people who are going to be present in Miami, who would be, you know, vulnerable if they were going to catch something, if we weren't comfortable. So we thought the best thing to do to make sure that the debate continued was to do it virtually.
Now, he said they're going to be guided by the science. If that's true, if Trump's doctor says he's good to go tomorrow, you got plenty of time to get things ready for the debate, you still got everything pretty much in place. But now they're already saying, well, Biden's already made some other plans. I don't know if we can pull this back together. And then part of the excuse they were making, as you heard, we got to be worried about everyone else. They're claiming the camera people, the staff that worked in Cleveland on that debate, were revolting because they believe the president endangered them while he was on stage. And Cordes, I love his response. He said, you're telling me you can't find a cameraman? I don't buy that for one second. That's ridiculous. Of course, we could staff the debate. And of course, there would be photographers willing to step in and do the debate and cover it. But for now, we're still in limbo. But I'm not done with this subject. While we're looking at the debate commission, if you're trying to decide if it's slanted or not, as Cordes is saying, that they're doing everything they can to make Biden look bad, I mean look good, boom, misstep on my part, Biden look really good and Trump bad, what can they manipulate? What can they do inside their purview of what they are charged to do? We come back to the moderator in a moment.
It's been a hard day's night. I've been working all like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I've been sleeping like a log.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
No, if he wants to be the commander-in-chief of the greatest republic in history, he has to get on the stage himself and face off with Donald Trump. And hopefully in this case, do so without a completely biased moderator who inserted himself into the process last time. We hope for much better this time, even though the commission chose another person with no credentials for this debate, somebody who, in fact, worked for Joe Biden previously. That's what I'm talking about, that this commission is totally discredited. Okay. This is the swamp at its very worst.
That is, again, Steve Cordes, campaign manager for Trump 2020. And when you talk about the previous debate, he's talking about that Chris Wallace was in the box for Biden against Trump. By the way, he questioned the way he handled the debate. Many believe that Trump was up there debating not just Biden, but also had to debate Wallace. In fact, At one time, Trump said, am I debating him or you or both of you? Now, the guy set to handle this next town hall debate, scheduled originally for October the 15th, Scully. Steve Scully. But a tweet surfaced that came from his tweet account to former White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci, once a supporter of Trump, but now on the resistance and spoken in favor of Biden's candidacy. And the tweet was asking, Scaramucci, should I respond to Trump? Because Trump apparently was already questioning his objectivity. So the debate moderator sent that to one of Trump's enemies. Should I respond? You're supposed to be the moderator. You're supposed to be unbiased. Well, you know what the response is now? They're saying, I didn't send that. Somebody hacked my tweet account. They got into there and they hacked it and they made it look like it came from me. I wouldn't have done that. Well, I don't know if we're going to have the facts on that anytime soon, but we do know what facts do exist. You know who Steve Scully was? Well, he worked at one time for Joe Biden, Senator Biden. He worked for him. I'm sorry, did you not hear me? He worked for Joe Biden. That's supposed to be a fair, unbiased moderator. And then, of course, don't forget the other one we had the other day, the Page, Susan Page, who is the moderator on this vice presidential debate. You think she doesn't have some bias? She wrote a glowing biography of Nancy Pelosi. Glowing. Praising Nancy Pelosi. So let's get this straight. Susan Page, overseeing the VP debate as a moderator, had already been on record writing the biography for Speaker Pelosi. And then you got Scully working as an intern and in many ways connected to Biden well before the debate and being selected. Think they'll ever ask Larry Connors to oversee that debate? I doubt it. But what they're doing right now is, like I said, trying to move things as they can. If you can't really save the ship, obviously, remember the Titanic, well, then rearrange the deck chairs. Or as in poker, start shooting angles. You can't beat the guy, so you start looking for angles. It's called an angle shooter in the game of poker. I'm trying to bluff a guy off of a hand. He won't give, and I keep raising. And he comes over the top of me, and now he's pushing back, and I don't really have anything. What can I do? Well, I get my cards in my hand like I'm going to toss them into the muck. I even make the motion like I'm throwing them away. So he grabs his and dumps his as well. Throws his into the muck. I'm still holding mine. And I turn him over. Woo! Steamy, nasty, hot names are. That's why they don't allow guns in the casino anymore. I was angle shooting the guy. That's the only way I was going to win that pot. Get him to get rid of that hand. And I had nothing. That's where we are with this debate commission at this point. They're doing what they can, whatever they can, to take advantage of whatever opportunity they have. And I think they are milking the COVID thing. And then claiming that we couldn't get camera crews down. Now the camera crews are, and the staff are revolting because they believe that they were unnecessarily exposed to COVID because of Trump. Well, before the debate, both the candidates were tested again, at least by temperature, so they could go out on the stage. So apparently Trump had no idea he was possibly carrying it then, or was he? I don't know. They don't either. But they don't need to know. They just need to have an excuse. Yeah, if we're going to have another debate, we're not going to do it virtual. Too easy for Joe to sit in front of a computer, have someone in his ear whispering, and see a computer screen giving him, feeding him answers. I'm not going to allow them to angle shoot. and neither is Trump. And if you play poker, you don't allow anyone to angle shoot on you either. Unless it's me. I don't do that. I don't play that game normally. No, I don't. But coming up, Fred Flights on exposing Hillary Clinton and Pelosi pushing the 25th.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.